preach the Word of God. What an opportunity we have to continue in our Easter series. Last week took a look at Jesus' mission as we were focusing in on what Jesus came to do. We looked at how Jesus came to fulfill the Father's will. We came to see how he offers salvation through faith. And we saw how he came to transform believers who put their genuine trust in him. And so today we jump and we take a look at his mission. My name is Stephen Lundy. I'm one of the ministers here at St. John Community Church. And we're so excited to jump into God's word and allow it to transform us from the inside out. Today we take a bird's eye view of his ministry years leading up to the triumphal entry. And so next week we have Palm Sunday, which will be a time that we remember the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. But in the next couple of weeks of this series, we're actually going to go real deep into those. We're going to look at Palm Sunday, triumphal entry, the Last Supper, the Passion, and the Resurrection in detail. And I'm super excited about that. I want to encourage you to come and be a part of those services, Palm Sunday, Easter morning, and then Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, Thursday and Friday at 7 p.m. Would love to have you guys there. As we jump in today, I actually want us to take an idea. Can I get my slides up there? Oh, there we go. Perfect. I want us to take a look at an idea that I think all of us are familiar with. Books versus movies. Now, if you have someone in your family who is a book reader, you know that whenever you talk about books versus movies, they always have a phrase that they use, no matter what book or movie it is, and the phrase is what? Books are better. See, I knew that you would be able to respond because it's such a common phrase. Books are always better. Now, here's a book and movie set that I really enjoy. I've been listening through and almost all the way through the final book of the Lord of the Rings audio edition. But you have Lord of the Rings and you have the books and you have the movie. And it's very interesting because everybody who's read these would say the books are better. The books are better. But I think this is one of the best adaptations there are out there of books to movie. There's always differences between books and movies. Books are going to be focused a lot more in detail, conversations, side conversations, character arcs. You're going to see the landscape come to life. You're going to see what's going on the inside of people, internal thoughts and ideas that are raging around. The whole story comes to life through the words on the page. When you look at a movie, a lot is cut out. It just doesn't translate the same way, and so you have much more action scenes, and you have bigger picture and dramatic effect and drama, and you are able to tell the story, but you don't get quite all the same details. So today, as we dig into our scripture, we're going to be looking at Jesus' ministry. But we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1 through Luke chapter 19. So we're going to be here a while. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to try my best to keep it condensed. But that's a lot of content. So it's really going to be more like the movie edition, where we take a look at the overarching themes, ideas, what's going on, and we have a better full understanding of Jesus' ministry from the beginning all the way up to the triumphal entry. And then that's where we're going to pick up next week. So we'll have a really good basis of his mission, his ministry, and then we'll get into details with that. But what I want to encourage you with is we've all now heard the phrase, we've said it back to me, so we know it to be true. Books are always better. We have the book right here. So I want to encourage you, we're in the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, so New Testament, and you go through, third book there. I encourage you to read it. over the next couple weeks as we go through Holy Week, read Luke. Take some time to dig in and see the details of Jesus' ministry. What's going on? What conversations are had? What is Jesus teaching? What is Jesus doing? And have this great culmination as we get to the end of Luke with Holy Week. But before we do any of that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us through it, that your word is alive and active. God, I pray that it would be your word spoken this morning, not mine, that we would allow your word to transform our hearts and our minds, and that we would fully surrender to you. We would deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow you. Pray this all in your Son's holy name. Amen. If you can believe it, when you're trying to teach on 19 chapters of the Bible in about 25 minutes, it's really hard to pick a singular verse to focus on. So I wanted to pick one that really encapsulated what we're talking about. And I think I found that in Luke chapter 9, where we see Jesus' specific call to ministry and the focus of it from beginning to end. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 27. We see that here. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed. And when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels, but I tell you, truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Again, we see here this overarching idea of Jesus' mission and ministry in these few verses. We're going to walk through this timeline and 1 through 19, and really want to focus in kind of like three chapters. You see these three different phases of Jesus' ministry within these chapters. And remember this idea of a book. So we're kind of reading the same book, same idea, but we're having different phases of it. So the first one we see is Jesus' early ministry. We see this in Luke chapter 1 through 4. And the kind of main idea that we get from this is that Jesus' early ministry reminds us that our identity is rooted in God's plan. In the first chapters of Luke, we see that Jesus didn't just appear on the scene by chance. There was a plan long established of Jesus coming and fulfilling the plan of the Father, really from the beginning. And it was foretold by prophets. It was prophesied by angels. The birth and the childhood narratives found in Luke chapter 1 and 2 show us the miraculous nature of Jesus' arrival and how the Father and Jesus intervened in human history. We see that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, came fully man, fully God, to be the Savior of the world, conceived by the Virgin Mary. Then we see John the Baptist, who comes just a little bit before Jesus, but he prepares the way of the Lord by calling out in the wilderness to prepare for the coming of the Lord. We see him call for people to repent and get their hearts ready for the Messiah. He says, "Jesus is coming. Are you ready?" And so finally, Jesus comes onto the scene, and Jesus is baptized and then has the temptation in the wilderness right before he begins his public ministry. Now, this is a really interesting time frame because in Luke chapter 3 and 4, we see this, how it powerfully reveals his divine identity as God, how he's a beloved son, and demonstrates his commitment to obeying the Father's will, even in the face of temptation. Jesus is fasting. He's physically weak. He's offered so many great things from Satan. And him knowing what his purpose, what his mission is, what's going to happen in the future. At this point, life's pretty good. Life's pretty easy. But he's going to be physically tortured. He's going to be emotionally abused. He's going to be taken to the cross and killed. So seeing that in front of him, he still denies himself, fulfills the Father's will, and rejects the temptation of Satan. All of these events take place, and they point to the message that we found in Luke chapter 9, 23 through 27, to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross, and to follow Christ. We really see a lot of different things happen. And again, remember, we're taking this movie view of these chapters, and so there's a lot going on here. I encourage you to dig in, get the details, read the book, know what's going on in this ministry that Jesus is having. We see that in Luke 9, and emphasizes that Jesus, in his humility, in his obedience, calls us to deny ourselves and to follow him. Just in the book and movie version analogy, we have this call to see not just Jesus' big picture, but actually to get into the nitty-gritty with him. To see the book version filled with all the essential details of the prophecies, the angelic announcements, his lineage, and the early steps of ministry that he takes, and how Jesus always promised to be the Messiah that we were looking for. So this really sets up and highlights, again, him beginning to fulfill the mission that he had of fulfilling the Father's will to come on earth, to be the Messiah, to be the sacrifice that we needed to be restored in his relationship. And so we move on to 4 through 9, and we see Jesus' ministry in Galilee. Jesus' ministry in Galilee challenges us to live out compassion and faith. When Jesus is in Galilee, he's speaking mainly to his people, to the Jewish people, to the Israelites. He's taking the gospel, the good news, to them first. And he kicks off a movement that would change lives. He began teaching in synagogues. He boldly proclaimed the arrival of God's kingdom, that it was fulfilled in and through him. And he challenged the old religious ways, the laws that were made up to add to or to benefit the temple or the church or the priests or the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He invited everyone into a transformative relationship with God. And so he continued his ministry. He performed powerful miracles. He healed the sick. He cast out demons, which showed both his divine authority as well his compassionate heart as he restored physical and spiritual wholeness to anybody who would listen and participate. We see that he didn't just go to the least in society. He also went to the spiritual leaders. Now, most of them wouldn't listen, but there were a few that would. He called ordinary men to be his disciples, to follow him, proving that his message of salvation and those who can be a part and work in his kingdom is everyone. Through the Sermon on the Mount, he laid down an ethical foundation for the kingdom, urging us to live lives marked with love, mercy, and radical reorientation towards God's truth. And when he fed the 5,000, it wasn't just a simple miracle. It was a reminder, a tangible reminder of God's abundant provision. That in the midst of a situation that it looked like there was no possible way to feed, God provided. Have you ever been a part of a moment in life where you had no idea how you were going to make it through? And God abundantly provided. In all of this, Jesus' ministry in Galilee not only displayed God's power and compassion, but also modeled true discipleship, a life of humility, trust, and active service, echoing the challenge that we see in Luke chapter 9 to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and to follow him. We see, again, a lot of different things going on in these chapters, too much to cover in just a quick amount of time. Again, that movie book illustration. Can we see that God, through this section, is calling us to live compassionately and with faith in Jesus? But what else is he trying to tell us in the midst of the details of the book? The third phase or section or chapter that we see is Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. And in Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, he calls us to daily surrender and to sacrificial obedience. As Jesus made his way to Jerusalem, the tension and the cost of discipleship, of following Christ, became even more apparent. At the Transfiguration, Jesus' divine glory was briefly revealed to his closest followers, affirming his true identity as fully God and strengthening their faith for what lay ahead of them. But in the midst of that, we also see the challenge that they have to really follow. We talked about it a little bit last week of how even in the midst of hearing what was going to happen, the death that he was going to face, the physical abuse and torture that he was going to experience, his disciples didn't fully get it. Like, the God of the universe is with us. How could anything terrible really happen? How could bad things happen? How could hardship occur? How could we experience physical or emotional abuse or attack? And I think sometimes we think the same way. I have faith in God, so why can bad things still happen to me? But Jesus, being the Son of God, experienced all the hardship that we experience and even more. Why? To fulfill the Father's will. And Jesus even said, you will experience trial and tribulation in this world, but to take heart, for I have overcome the world. There's never a promise or a guarantee that things are just going to be simple, that everything is going to go your way, that you're going to get everything that you want in life. Actually, the opposite is probably more true than that, that you are going to experience difficulty and challenge, but the challenge is to continue to be faithful, to put your faith and your trust in Jesus and to live it out with daily surrender and sacrificial obedience. Alongside that, we see a lot of other things happening. He teaches on discipleship, and his parables are confusing to the disciples, but he shares and highlights the real cost of following him while showcasing his endless mercy. And even as opposition grew and the threat of death loomed, Jesus resolved to head to Jerusalem, never wavered. It never changed. He remained committed to fulfilling the Father's plan, showing us an example and a model of obedience and love, of daily surrender and sacrificial obedience. This phase of his journey drives home the challenge that we see in Luke 9 to deny ourselves, to carry our cross each day, even when the road is hard. When picture at the end of a movie, when you start to get to the climax, the movie might capture the drama, but the book explains the heartfelt reasons behind every action. Jesus's profound love for humanity and his unwavering commitment to God's plan is shown through how he continues on the road to Jerusalem. So how do we live this out? We've gotten an overview of Luke, of Jesus's mission and ministry, and we're ready to jump deep into the triumphal entry. But how do we apply to God's word to our lives today? I think the first one highlights Jesus's early ministry, and it calls on this action of understanding who we are and our identity. We see this by studying God's word daily. I think I shared this a couple of weeks ago or last week. I can't remember exactly when, because it happens so often. You're going to hear from me over and over and over again. Read God's word. I challenge the youth with it almost every week. Read God's word. Why? Because if the God of the universe is speaking to you, shouldn't we be listening? And so one of the things that we can do is we can pick up a book of the Bible. My challenge to you is right now, pick Luke. Read a chapter or a set of verses. Ask God to reveal himself to you through his word. Don't just sit down and read cold, but just ask God, hey, I'm reading so that you may reveal who you are and who I am in you through your word. Ask questions and dig deep. Have discussion with those around you, whether they're Christian or not Christian. Have discussion around God's word. Try to understand the full text, the context of it, and its connection to other scriptures. By doing this, it establishes our identity in God's plan and our identity in Christ. We see that we are made in the image of God and how we are made new in Christ, recognizing that we are deeply loved by the Father, that we're called to live for him, and just as Jesus overcame temptation by clinging to God's word, we can overcome worldly distractions and temptations when we truly know who we are in him and have his word hidden in our hearts. Study God's word daily. The second life application comes from Jesus' ministry in Galilee, where we see to engage in acts of service. Engage in acts of service. Live a life focused on serving others. How can we do this? Well, we can volunteer with a local mission partner. For example, one here at St. John that we have is the Grace and Glory Food Pantry, right? But there's so many other ways that we can do that. We can visit someone in the hospital or a homebound individual. We can provide meals for a neighbor in need. We can identify people around us, maybe single parents who need just a little bit of help. We can see people that are lonely and visit with them. We can make sure that if there is a physical need around us that we can provide with our time, talent, or our treasure. Do we have eyes to see the needs around us and to step in and to serve? Not just through an organization. We can do that through an organization or through a church, but are we doing it as individuals, as the body of Christ? When we serve others with compassion, we begin to see true discipleship lived out. And it really becomes stepping out of our comfort zone to meet the practical needs in our community. We see Jesus do this on a regular basis, going and physically healing or providing to the least of these, and there's people all around him going, why are you doing it for these people? The third life application that we see comes from Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, which is to practice regular self-denial. This is probably one of the hardest things that we can try to live out in our world today, because as Americans, it's all about us. It's all about our freedom. But in Christ, it's all about self-denial. It's all about putting Christ first, following him, and embracing sacrificial obedience. Practicing regular self-denial could look like fasting a meal once a week to refocus our heart on God's kingdom. It could also look like identifying areas of our life that we still need to surrender to the Lord. Maybe it's a spiritual discipline like prayer, fasting, scripture reading, serving. Maybe it's your thoughts, your actions, your emotions, excuse me, your social relationships, or even your finances. Is there an area that you have still held, this is mine? God, you can have everything else. I surrender everything else to you. This is mine. I need this. Or are you willing to let go? Excuse me, sorry. And say, God, this is yours. I surrender it all. I give it all to you. You can have my everything. Angel and I had her sister in town and her two boys this weekend, and last night we were watching a really weird, I think it's for old show, maybe it's not, but they may kind of make it look old. Maybe some of you have seen it. It's called Horrific Histories. Anybody seen that? It's a weird show. It's a British show. Anyway, basically what they do in this show is they give you a lot of weird, funny ways of what, in a kid-friendly way, like what has happened in history and all the horrific things that have happened that are true. And one of the areas that they did this was for Christians in the Roman Empire and the sacrifices that they had to make, the self-denial that they had to have in the midst. And it just hit me in the heart. Like, man, I'm teaching on this, and what I have to let go of, what I have to self-deny is so minimal. It's so easy in comparison. They had one example. So basically, if a Christian would not refuse, or they refused to deny Jesus, or to say that the Roman gods were higher and better than the Christian God, if they were unwilling to submit, then they had to face torture. One of the examples of the torture that they had was this lady being catapulted. And when she landed, if she didn't die, they'd come and stab her to death. Another example that they gave was rolling a guy down a hill in a barrel. Which doesn't sound too bad, except that the barrel was full of spikes. See, this is history. This has happened. It's happening around the world now. And so when we ask ourselves, am I willing to self-deny? Am I willing to let go? Am I willing to pick up my cross and follow Christ? The things that we have to do seem so trivial in comparison to what some others are going through for Christ. And so it challenges me. Doesn't make it easy. It's still hard to do. But it challenges me. Can I do better? Can I be more faithful? Can I be more obedient? Can I be more humble? Can I let go of more things? Can I let God do more in my life? Can I see Jesus be faithful in the midst of whatever challenge or hardship or difficulty comes my way? Because following Jesus isn't always comfortable. Embracing sacrificial obedience isn't easy. It means carrying our cross daily and surrendering our will to His. As we wrap up today, let's remember this idea of books versus movies. We've taken the movie version. We've looked at big moments of Jesus' life, miracles, parables, the cross. But the full story in Scripture that we see reveals His heart, His obedience, His constant invitation for us to follow Him daily. Jesus' early ministry reminds us of our identity is deeply rooted in God's plan. His ministry in Galilee challenges us to live out a life marked by compassion and faith, and His journey to Jerusalem calls us to embrace daily surrender and sacrificial obedience. Which leads us to the Holy Week and what Christ does to fulfill all that He came to do. The question we face is, will we follow Jesus with our whole life? Our time, our resources, our relationship, our heart. Will we deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Him daily? Will we live a life modeled after what Christ modeled in His ministry? Or will we settle for a surface level glimpse? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You. We thank You that we can take a look at Your ministry through Jesus. We can see His mission and how He began to live that out. God, I ask that You would continue to work in our hearts. This is an ongoing process. You continue to transform us, continue to work on us, continue to help us to be more like You. Less of us and more of You. God, may Your truth resonate in our hearts. And may we experience Your faithfulness, Your provision, Your mercy, Your grace, and may we share that with the world. Pray this all in Your Son's holy name. Amen. Church, as we come to the table this morning and experience communion together, I want to encourage us to see this as an opportunity to see that Jesus did exactly what He's calling us to do. He never asked us to do something that He's not willing to do Himself. And so at the table, He reminds His disciples of what's about to happen. And He calls us to remember what happened every time we take communion. That He went to the cross, that He died, that He rose again. He paid the price so that we could be reconciled to the Father, that He paid the price that we could not pay. Our sin was a price of death, physical and spiritual death. But He lived the perfect life so that we could experience full righteousness in our account. So when God looks at you, He doesn't see your filth. He doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see your failure. He sees Jesus' perfection. He sees Jesus' righteousness. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He denied himself to fulfill the Father's will. That's what we remember here at the table. So our table here at St. John Community Church is an open table. It's open to any believer. Whether you're a member of this church or any church, you are welcome to come to the table to take part in remembering what Christ has done for you. So I'm going to invite the communion servers, ushers, to come and be served. And the worship team, if you're going to be singing, feel free to come up and be served as well before you go up to the stage. And then we'll call you up when we are ready. And the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He gave thanks for it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the table. We thank you for the elements. We thank you for the reminder that it is for us. May we experience your forgiveness and your grace and your mercy once more, not through specifically these elements, but through what you did on the cross, what you did in your resurrection that allows us to be redeemed and reconciled to the Father. We thank you and we praise you that you love us so much, that you saved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Body of Christ broken for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. Body of Christ broken for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ broken for you. I have gluten free here in the middle. Come, the table is open. Thank you. Quick announcements before we hear our benediction. First is we have a new April barrel ministry. If you're unaware of what a barrel ministry is, we have a couple barrels out here on each side of the sanctuary. Highlights a different mission organization that we help each month. So this month is the Children's Home, and they've actually asked for a unique item that we don't normally do. They've asked for gift cards in denominations of 5, 10, 15, or 20. And the reason for that is normally we would get items, you know, different clothing items or different things that they need. But they like to take the students and give them some autonomy and some self-worth of going and buying what they physically need and letting them pick out what they want. So this is a really cool opportunity for us to support them in that way. So you can actually drop those off in the offering plate or coming by the office sometime during the week and dropping those off instead of in the barrels. If you haven't ordered your Easter lily, you can still do that up until April 11th. The QR code is out on the upcoming events board, and you can scan that QR code and do that. And then, of course, Chris highlighted our Easter prayer vigil. So if you haven't signed up for that yet, there's a board right out here. Pick a slot, or you can do that on our website as well. We'd love to have you come and pray with us from Good Friday until Easter morning. Not that whole time, just an hour slot. So I think we can all do that. So let's hear the benediction as we go from this place in Christ. May the Lord keep you from all evil. May the Lord bless you and keep you and your life. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his favor upon you and give you peace. Now may we go and make a difference by following Christ, offering hope, serving others, and loving everyone. In Christ Jesus, amen.
My Father's house is a place.